Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1 and read several verses this evening. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were there at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Kind of seems repetitive. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The title of my sermon this evening would be, where is the God of Elijah? Where is this God? Elisha asked this question. He just come from an incredible experience, something that he had never witnessed before. Not very many people have ever witnessed that. And he sees that Elijah has been taken from him. He spent quite a bit of time with him. He was kind of his understudy, the one that was expected to take over when Elijah was taken away. And he walked and he talked with Elijah. He learned from him. He's seen the miracles that Elijah has done. He just heard stories of the counts of years gone by. Elisha had the utmost respect for Elijah. He recognizes that Elijah is a devout man of God. The power of God is in this man. There's just something different about Elijah. He has God all over him. Kings tremble at the word of God spoken through Elijah. He was in tune with God at all times. In the previous chapter, it talks about how Elijah called fire down from heaven, consumed 102 soldiers. Elijah says there's not going to be any rain, and it doesn't rain for 3 years. Elijah prays and fire falls down on a sacrifice, consumes the sacrifice and the water that was poured on it. He kills the prophets of Baal. He outruns Ahab's chariots. He's most definitely a man of God. There's something different about him. But we come to the account that we read this evening, that we've looked at today. It's revealed to Elijah that he's going to be taken away. His time is coming to a close, and it's revealed to him that he's going to be taken up in a whirlwind. He tries to have Elisha stay back at different places, but Elisha isn't having it. He's staying with Elisha. And we see every place they go, the prophets of those cities, they try, don't you know Elijah is going to be gone with you today? Every place they ask, and then he just tells them, be quiet. Hold your peace. Enough of that. I don't want to hear any more of that. And it seemed like every place they went, they must have said the same thing, because the scripture says they said the same thing. And he just, hold your peace, be quiet. I don't want to hear about that. I'm going with Elijah. And as they cross the Jordan, and Elijah, he smites the water, and the waters part, and they walk through on dry ground. And Elijah asks Elisha, he said, what can I do for you? My time's running out. You know I'm going to be gone. And they're expecting him to go that day. And what do you want from me? What is something that you would ask? And Elisha asked, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah said, that's a hard thing to ask for. That's a hard thing. It wasn't a frivolous question. It wasn't arrogantly asked that I want to be better than Elijah. I want to be more important than Elijah. No, he recognized that Elijah had something that he wanted, but he wanted more of it. And I think that should be our desire tonight, that we want more. We want more of God. He wanted what Elijah had, but he wanted more. Is it your desire today that you want more of God? Are you satisfied with the portion that you have, or do you want more? The songwriter says, I've had all, but what I need is just more of you. We can have the double portion if we want it, if we mean it. But there's going to be a holy life that has to be lived, a consecration of the heart, a surrender of the soul. We're not just going to get a double portion of his spirit in our lives without us doing our part as well. We won't have a double portion by accident. It'll take some seeking. It'll take some determination as well. So Elisha wants the double portion, and he's promised that if he sees Elijah go up, not told when he will go up, but if he sees him when he goes up, he's going to receive that double portion. Well, that's pretty plain for Elisha. All he has to do is be right by Elijah when he goes. So I'm sure, talk about your personal space invaded. Elisha is not letting Elijah out of his sight. This is what he wants. This is what he desires. And any place he goes, it's like having somebody just right there, right behind you, and you can't shake him off. You can't get rid of him. I'm sure that's probably what Elijah was feeling. I mean, he'd go over here. He's going to different places, and they're walking and talking, and Elisha's just right there beside him. Right, he's not letting Elijah get out of his sight. And it's kind of, I've had people, small children, not here, but other places. They just want to be right beside you, and they kind of get it underfoot, and it's like, man, just maybe go back to COVID rules, 6 feet over there, and we'll be fine. But Elisha's not going to let Elijah go out of his sight. And we see that Elijah, as I said, they came to the Jordan River, and I don't know if this was normal traveling. This is a normal traveling scenario, but Elijah just parts the water and they walk through. I don't know if that was normal for them. It may have been. If they would come to a place that seemed impossible to go through, Elijah would take his mantle off and whack the water, and there they go. It didn't seem that Elisha was surprised by what Elijah did. But then we read as they walk and they talk, in an instant, Elijah is taken from earth to glory. Elisha's taking this all in. It's a supernatural event that has taken place. Only one other time has man been taken to heaven without going through the grave first. Elisha saw him go up. The promise is now fulfilled. Elijah's mantle fell off him through all this, and Elisha scoops it up and heads straight to the river. He has the promise. He has the power. And I don't think for one moment when he gets to the river that he asked this question that we read in Scripture in a timid way. I don't think for one moment that he did. No, he asked this question more as a statement of faith instead of a question. He rolls up that mantle and he cries out, not in a shy way, but in a heart full of faith, where is the God of Elijah? And he hits the water. He didn't tap the water. He didn't just dip the edge of it in. No, he doesn't hold back. He asked the question that we all should ask. Where is the God of Elijah? When we ask that question, we usually ask it when we have nothing left to turn to. It usually goes like this. God, where are you? Can't you see I'm surrounded? Can't you see it's hopeless down here? Where are you? Have you forsaken me? This may be how we would ask, where is the God of Elijah? Where are you? We ask where God is when we've tried everything else. Elisha asked first. He didn't do everything he knew how to do, but the first thing he did was call on the God of the universe. He called on him for power and strength in that situation. He asked where God was, and he found out where God was. He was right there with him. In that instant, the power of God was displayed only because it was asked for. We're not going to just randomly have the power of God upon us. It's going to have to be asked for. It's going to have to be something that we're wanting, something that we're pleading, that we want. And he will give it to us if we ask for him. So where is the God of Elijah? Elisha asked this question, but where is this God? Well, first I'm going to give you some places where he isn't, where you're not going to find God, the God of Elijah. He's not in the confusion that you may experience. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." The confusion that you may be facing, rest assured that it's not coming from the Almighty. He does not come to you as the author of confusion. No, he comes to provide the light to dispel the darkness or the confusion. He's not going to be in the confusion that you face. You won't find him in the evilness of the world. John 17:15 and 16 says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We're not going to find God in the evilness of this world. He has no place for it. He cannot be in darkness. He will be a part of the wickedness. He'll be set apart from the wickedness of our day. If you go searching for God in the sin of this world, you're not going to find him. You will not find God in the presence of those who've compromised or watered down with the Scripture teaches. He cannot be associated with those that have changed the Scripture, his words to us to fit their ideas or agendas. The Scripture was inspired by God. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It is the truth. It is his words. If we can't grasp that what he says in his word, that he means it, then we're not going to find God. When we change our interpretation of what the Bible says to fit our lifestyle or to make us more comfortable, we're not going to find the God of Elijah. Those are just a few areas of where we're not going to find God. But I want to give you some places where we can find this God of Elijah. First, you can find him in his word. You want to find the God of Elijah? Open this book and begin to read what he has to say to you. He says, "I'm knocking on your heart's door. Open it and you'll find me." He says, "Draw nigh to me and you'll find me, because I'll draw nigh to you." He says, "Seek after me and you'll find me. I'm gonna come to you." Sometimes we wish that maybe we had a supernatural revelation, like some of those people in Scripture, where God appeared to them or an angel appeared to them. And if God would really do something like that, we'd really listen to him. If he really appeared to us, like maybe he appeared to Mary or Gideon, we'd really listen to him and we'd really follow whatever he says. And sometimes we make the Scripture seem like, well, it's just the Bible. It's just something that we should read. But this is really a supernatural revelation of who God is and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to conduct our lives. And I hope we hold the Scripture in high regard. I hope we hold it as something that's above anything else that's in this world, as literature and those writings of this world. But God's word is a supernatural revelation of what he wants us to live and how he wants us to conduct our lives. If we want to find him, if we want to find this God of Elijah, we can find him right here. It doesn't take too much effort to open the Scripture and read it, or we can listen to it. But if we're wanting to find him, we can find him in his word. Another place we can find him is sitting on the throne in heaven. As Christians, we have the unbelievable privilege to have instant access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is seated on the throne. When you need to find him, he's always there. As I said this morning, we can We don't have to worry about being placed on hold or, well, take a number and we'll get back with you. We don't have to worry about that. We have instant access. He's there to provide the help that we need. We can come before him in prayer and share our hearts with him. We can find him there. He's there to provide the healing that we so desire. He's there to provide the grace that sustains us. He's there to give us the hope for the future. He's there to rule and reign over all that is in heaven and earth. You want to know where he is? Approach the throne room of God and you will find him. Finally, where is the God of Elijah? Well, he can dwell within you. I hope he is. He has sent his spirit to come and to fill us up to the brim with the presence of the Almighty God. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to call back later and to see if he's not busy. No, we have the Spirit with us at all times. He's there to provide the direction for our lives, to comfort us, to lead us. I talked about this morning, he wants to be our guide. He wants to change us to be followers of Christ. If you've been filled with the Spirit, then you have the God of Elijah in you. He's the creator of the universe. You have him inside of you. You have the author of our salvation. You have the sovereign Lord reigning and ruling over your life. You have him indwelling with you. He's there with you. He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He's going to be there with us to the end of the earth. We don't have to wait till our back's up against the wall. The devil's closing in to ask, God, where are you? Where are you? I need you. No, we can ask that question like Elisha did that day. He knew good and well where God was because God hadn't moved. He hadn't changed addresses. He knew where to find God. He knew that God was with him just like he had always been. He hadn't given up on Elisha. He hadn't forsaken him. Elisha knew where God was, and God gave him faith to hit the waters of the river. If you knew that God was with you like he was with Elisha and Elijah, would you do more things for him? Would you charge full steam ahead towards the enemy to try to fight back and fight back against the forces of the world? If you knew that he'd be right there with you, by your side, fighting for you, would you have the same faith as Elisha did to see the river part if you knew that he was right there with you? God, help us to have the faith and the courage of Elisha, a man of God with a double portion of the Spirit and power of God in his life. We can have that power. We can have that double portion. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves down before him and call out to him. And the scripture says, seek after him and he's going to be found. Elisha wanted the double portion. He wanted a double portion of the Spirit of God. And I hope that's our desire today, that we want a double portion of his Spirit. Are we satisfied with what we have? Are we satisfied with the portion of God? If I put it that way, not being disrespectful, but are we satisfied with what we have? Are we satisfied with the relationship with God that we have? Do we want more? I think we should all want more. I think that should be our desire. I don't think we ever reach a point where we just get enough. I don't think we ever reach a point we can be filled with him, but I think there's a desire to just continually be filled and refilled and overflowing with him. I don't think there's ever a point where we just stop, well, we've got enough of God to keep me through the rest of my life. No, I think we should be just like Elisha. I want a double portion. I want something more than what I have right now. And if we have that, we shouldn't have to worry where God is. We shouldn't have to worry where he is. We can rest assured that he's going to be with us like he's always been. Just like Abraham, he had faith. He knew God was going to provide for him because he'd always provided for him in times past. I hope that we want a double portion of his Spirit, and I hope we know where the God of Elijah is. I hope he's dwelling within you. I hope that you approach the throne room regularly and cry out to him and ask him. I hope you read about him in his word. Read what he says for your life. And if we do that, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to make it. I think we can have confidence. I think we know that we're going to make it. We can have his presence in our lives tonight. Let's stand, be dismissed with prayer. Alan, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?